I'm going to launch the show and then tell my story because I want the world to hear this. Thank the light, everyone. I am.
It's all right, Loyal. We understand.
And these are my wolf brothers.
I am your mother's milk in a cup.
And I am your, it's too dark in the ways. I don't know what's going on.
Who the fuck shot this show? People who made Ozark? We get it. It's way the fuck out in the middle of nowhere. Can we lighten the show up a little bit?
It's so dark. Nothing can grow here.
It's so dark. What, Loyal's penis?
No, but it's, you think normal pubes are curly? You should get a load of this guy's fucking.
Jesus.
Oh, no.
Guy's got carrot top and a leg lock.
Oh, no.
This show is off to a banging start.
Yes. So everyone out there, we were telling stories before we started, and now I'm going to tell my story. We were talking about how awesome it is to be an adult. So my boy turned 18 on Wednesday. He's an 18-year-old man. He's got a little bit of money. We can't tell him no anymore. First of all, what's the first thing you did when you were 18?
Moved out.
But what'd you buy? Like, what did you do with your 18-year-oldness?
Pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a lottery ticket.
Even if you didn't smoke them, you'd buy them for a friend just because you could.
Exactly. That was the thing, man. Buy that lotto ticket, baby.
And fucking chewing tobacco.
So Will is going by himself. He bought a plane ticket to New York City.
New York City?
Sorry. God, I was going to do this.
Why? Because Phantom of the Opera and the Music Man are closing soon.
Oh.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, to be an adult.
Swear to God. That's his first act as an 18-year-old is to go see two Broadway plays by himself in New York City.
Wow.
Well, a stud.
That is like very.
That's an option.
Hey, you know what? It's someone that we partially raised, they classed up that much. Shit. Be proud, brother.
Fuck yeah.
Be proud.
Seriously. Number one, going to New York City. But number two, I'm 45. You couldn't get me to go to New York City. I'd be too intimidated. He's 18. He wants to go there. And he wants to go to Broadway.
Fuck yeah. Welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. And on a journey we are. We are doing the rewatch. We had to take a little break there. I mean, I guess you guys don't know this because we still haven't released 4, 5, and 6 yet. But we took a little bit of break to bring you guys a teaser trailer. And now we're back on the rewatch to finish this up. We got 2 episodes to go. Today, we are doing season 1, episode 7, The Dark Along the Ways. First thoughts.
Why, Matt? Why?
Yeah. So when you guys remember watching this for the first time, I don't know if you guys knew what was going on with it's Barney Harris, right?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
We did. Yeah. Yeah, we did. I think we knew, right? Right, Des?
You did.
I did.
Yeah.
So I had no idea. And I'm like, this makes no sense. Why would they do this? Okay. Finding out that the guy had left the show. Okay. That makes sense. Still not knowing why he left the show.
Still not knowing.
Why wouldn't you tackle this guy and be like, listen, you're going to finish these last 2 episodes, dude. I don't care. If you have to, we have to put you in a hermetically sealed, you know, what? you don't get vaccinated. Fine. We're going to put you by yourself and you're going to do all your lines in a separate bubble or something. I don't know if that was it.
I don't think that was it, dude.
Like motion capture him or something. I don't care. No, it had to have been.
I think it probably was like mental health issues or something like that.
Or family, like bad family situation that he just had to go deal with or something. Like, I hope we find out eventually.
Well, I hope that it wasn't something horrible, you know?
Like he murdered a prostitute in Prague or something. That would be terrible.
No, I said something horrible.
Oh. Wow.
Jeremy coming through with
wow.
Both barrels blazing.
That was just purely a joke.
Oh, that's our new intro, man.
Oh, that's terrible.
Is there a dead hooker in your trunk? What else would be in there?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I just want to know because, yeah, if it is bad, I want to, you know, help out his GoFundMe page or whatever for whatever he's got to fucking deal with. Now I think about it. I haven't even, like, looked, like, see if he's, like, popped up and.
No, he's like, no. So I haven't seen, like, I've looked here and there. He's not really on social. I can't find anything.
Maybe all of a sudden he decided, he's like, you know what? I've always wanted to be a carpenter.
Totally.
I've always wanted to be a carpenter.
Went to Tibet and just became a monk. Just that's it. I am no longer Barney Harris. I am now Butterfly Wings or something. I don't know what they.
Yeah, it's gonna. I was. It was gonna be funny if I like looked on IMDb and he's got like three things in pre-production or something. Just like,
yeah, no shit.
Okay, I guess he just didn't like this show.
Well, all right then.
He really didn't like the dude that played Rand. He was just like, fuck this guy.
Not hanging out with these fucking clowns for 8 more years.
Sorry, can't sell that he's my best friend. Don't like him.
Turns out Rosamund Pike's a real jerk. Who knew?
Yeah, totally. So starting with the recap, I always watch the recaps just because I'm like, okay, what do they want us to focus on? And I thought it was interesting that, because it's from two, oh no, I guess it was from the same thing, but they made it a point to play the Matt, when Matt says, Fane, you rat bastard, and Fane says, always a pleasure. So they like made it a point to bring those two characters, remember like, Matt and Put on Fane. Matt, mm-hmm. Put on Fane. Don't forget about these two and the fact that they're together. So I thought that was interesting. And of course, they pounded one more time because this was their last fucking chance to pound the 5 potential dragons.
Look,
they pounded that like 4 or
Let's
5
Let's just hope
times
that's laid to rest completely.
Yeah, it was funny. I was watching What Up, which if you guys haven't watched What Up, it's on YouTube. Guy does a very good job. I'm blanking on his name right now. I like What Up. He's a very good. He has a very good show. But even he was, and he's kind of like a, I don't want to call him a homer. He's not a homer. He's very enthusiastic about the show. And there's not too much that they can do.
He's like me. He's a fanboy.
Exactly. He's more like Fatty. He's not like, he's just like, hey, I want to see it on the screen. And if it's not exactly the way I want it, whatever, it's fine. But even he was like, he didn't like the mystery box of it. He didn't like the 5 different dragons. He didn't like the way that they did that. And I was like, oh, okay. So if he didn't like it, that's saying something.
Yeah, I feel like the whole 5 potential dragon things is a huge swing and a miss. Even the female part of it, because, you know, and not in any kind of like sexist way or anything. It's just the whole dilemma is the male half of the source is tainted. So if a female was the dragon, it really shouldn't be that big of a problem.
It's not a problem at all. It's actually great because nothing bad can happen. But if a man does it.
Well, if they were that powerful, though, they could still do whatever they wanted.
True, they could. Absolutely. But they're going to be the savior. And they're not going to eventually go insane and murder everyone, possibly.
This is where we have to imagine the people who only watch the show. And we'll
yes.
only ever watch the show.
Yeah, to steal a line from Big Lebowski, like, he treats objects like women, man. Like, in the parlance of our times, I see the gender kind of neutrality. I see what they're going for. I totally get it. It's just the way this story was done, it just doesn't hit right. It doesn't land right, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree.
And if they would have done it in a way that landed right, I'd have been totally cool with it. But it just...
I would understand if there was no... In the show, there was no strong female characters. And like, listen, this show comes from a purely masculine point of view. It's all about men. And that we have to inject some female point of view or else the ladies aren't going to watch. That's not the show. I mean, that's not the books either. Yeah, the books are incredibly... Especially in the very beginning where, you know, all the... Women who you see are the most powerful women that you're going to encounter. Men have like no ability to, you know, Moraine, there's nothing Matt or Perrin could do to Moraine if they decided to get into a fight with him. Same with Rand. And Rand has no, you know, Rand doesn't know that he can channel yet. When Egwene even finds out like she can channel, all of a sudden you go from, oh, I'm this, you know, tiny, small girl who's younger than everybody else to I'm more powerful than all of you. Like,
yeah,
instantly. And then Nynaeve, it's 10 times that. So
yeah, she's next level.
So you have incredibly powerful women characters, and you don't need to inject them into a place where they weren't before.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I think that's kind of what made one of the things that made the story really cool, especially when it was written. It's like you weren't seeing a lot of people doing that.
Yeah. I got to hear the, I finished The Great Hunt today.
Outstanding.
Nice.
the best part about that is I get to hear the interview with Robert Jordan at the end.
The one that I've been talking about?
Well, I think it's the same exact interview at the end of Eye of the World and The Great Hunt.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is, but he's just like, righto, governor.
Yeah. You're like, aren't you from South Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
But I just love how, like, I love, too, that he talks about how he listens. He never read his own books, but he would always listen to his books as a way to edit himself and be like, if they were reading the book back to him and he's like, oh, yeah, that didn't. So he's like, when I'm writing it, it all makes sense.
Sure.
Then when someone reads it back to me, if it doesn't make sense, then I know in the next book what I need to address to make it more clear. So I thought that was really smart.
He was a good author and he thought about things like that. I wonder with the TV show if they're thinking the same way, because I understand. So the Podden Fain thing, for someone who has no idea about what's going on in the books, has no idea of the history in the books, is it just, you're like, you see this guy at the very beginning and then
who is this dude?
Exactly. He just kind of shows up out of nowhere. And then reading more and watching more and then watching with the subtitles on, the interaction with Perrin and Egwene and Rand, I don't know if you guys like caught more. It's like they were trying to set up this love triangle that they didn't set up at all, but there's no setup.
Yeah, totally. Hate it. Other than Nynaeve's comment in the beginning.
Yeah, so the first episode and then the seventh episode are the only parts.
Perrin's fawning over her a little bit when they're alone. There's like, it's not hard. Like,
but you can't really tell if it's like brother, sister, or like, you know what I mean? You kind of can't really tell.
He gives her a little bit of a look when she's dancing with what's his name?
Yeah.
Around the fire. Like, they didn't oversell it. Like, maybe we should give him credit for being subtle about it instead of, you know, having him be creepy and rapey about it. But you're right. They didn't quite set it up as like, this is going to be the hero's downfall in episode 7. Like, this.
Yeah.
You know, they could have sold it a little harder to make that fight make sense.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple times when they're by themselves where Perrin and Egwene are talking, or, you know, she'll come up and like jump on top of him, or she gives him a hug or something like that. And there's not like a like, oh, I'm enjoying this hug more than a brother would enjoy a hug or a friend would enjoy a hug. He doesn't like sniff her hair like,
oh. You smell delicious.
Like, you smell amazing. Mm.
Coconut.
You have that fresh out of the river, been in your clothes for fucking 5 days smell. Mm.
You smell the fear of someone who's been pushed off a cliff into a river.
And chased by Trollocs slightly afterwards. Are we going to talk about the show or...
No, we're just going to keep on potting.
I mean, I love it. I love it. That's why I just shut up, because Jeremy's making some good points.
Well, I'm holding off because I don't know. We've touched on it a lot, so maybe we won't have to beat it quite to death.
Oh, no, that's what we do. We beat it to death.
All right. Well, get your sticks out.
We should have named it the Beat It to Death podcast. Yes. Yes, we get it, Justin. Fart jokes are funny. Ha ha. I mean, you know. Damn it, Jeremy. I do wish your face was veiled now. So.
Right? So this cold opening is amazing.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's so good. Unless you have any history with the books.
Or the show.
If you paid attention to what episode 4 of the show, when Tom says, hey, you got to watch out. When they veil themselves, that's when they're dangerous.
Yeah. Well, you know what? She looked pretty fucking dangerous without her veil.
Exactly. Which she should have been.
Savage.
Yeah, she should have not been dangerous at all. She should have been dangerous. She's going to beat you. She won't kill you. She can beat you to almost to death, but she will not kill you. Literally, she would die in the books. She would die before she would kill you, unless she's veiled.
And I forget how many people she kills. Like,
dude, like 12.
Yeah. In my mind, it's like two guys she takes on, but she takes on half a fucking army.
It's like 2, then 3, then 2, then 4, I think. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then she has a baby, and then, you know, Jesus. Dude, Jeremy, when she's running around, what the fuck's flying in the background? What's blowing up?
Oh, you know what? I think that's probably like almost like a catapult or trebuchet firing something. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay. I got really boned up because I'm like, do they have dragons already? Or, you know, is that the Aes Sedai fighting? No, no. There's something called dragons. They're cannons, basically. They don't have cannons in this yet. And they suss out a way to make cannons and they call them dragons.
It's almost like, do you guys ever see Mulan?
I haven't seen the whole thing. I finished some of it with Cormac the other day.
Okay, so Mulan is like my daughter's favorite movie. And so she would watch it like 5 times a year. And I would just catch bits and pieces. I've listened to the movie Mulan because when we used to go on vacations or something, she would play it on the DVD player. So I've listened to the movie Mulan 1,000 times. But they had these things called, I think they were called dragons too. And they were basically like, they had a dragon's face on it. And then they would have like a tube where they would light a fuse in the back and they would hold it like a, almost like a bazooka, but not on their shoulder, but like under their arms.
I think they had some shit in feudal Japan that did that.
And this is, so this is China and it's basically the same. Yeah. Probably maybe a little bit sooner, probably because China had the gunpowder first. I'm pretty sure.
Probably before Tom Cruise showed up and became the next samurai.
I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure Tom Cruise predates almost everything. But yeah.
Maverick with a sword.
This cold opening blew me away until I was like, oh God, she's not veiled. She's killing all these people and she's not veiled. And it just ruined it for me. And it bugs me. And I'm sure for someone like, you know, who has no tying to the books.
I mean, it's so good. I mean, I don't love it, but
it bugs you, right? Once you realize it, because I don't think Fatty realized what was going on.
Not enough to make me dislike the show.
But when I pointed it out, had you even realized that what was going on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, immediately. I'm like, her face should be fucking veiled.
Yes. Okay.
I said, I'm not bad about it, but it should be veiled.
Again, I forget how long the scene was, so I was still a little bit forgiving about it until today when I watched it. I'm like, no.
Yeah, if you go back and watch our breakdown, Jeremy, of that, was it episode 7 on like one of our first podcasts, dude?
It was one of the first ones I was on.
It was one of the first things I said. I was like, dude, I love it, but her face should be veiled.
Yeah.
Longer, more, you know? Well, and then, dude, she gets stabbed. Desmond, do you pick up on that? Like, that's right where Rand has his injury in book 2.
Yep.
Like, same spot, you know, the wound that won't heal or whatever.
Yep.
The cloak yank is so fucking gangster.
So rad.
Super cool.
It's just, and did you notice that Tam had the Heron Mark blade already?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The costumes, I feel like the costumes in this, I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe, but this scene, they're head and shoulders above everything else for the rest of the season. I think the Shannarans is pretty good, but these guys are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
This also goes to show you how tough the Aiel are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see in the future how amazing the fighters are. This is a small woman who's pregnant and going through contractions, and she's just working everybody.
Fucking everybody up.
Straight laying waste, dude.
And spoiler alert, she's not really Aiel.
Yeah.
I mean, she's...
It wasn't like she started that training when she was, you know, 6.
Oh, yeah. She joined the Aiel later. And do we ever find out who the dad is?
Yes, you do. It's nobody that you'll ever know or see or anything like that. Yeah.
What's his name? Janduin?
I think, yeah. Good call. Wow. That's a, man, deep dive right there.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes back to, this is another thing that, like, you know, watching this and being able to pay closer attention, like how this comes back when Rand talks to Min later on is awesome.
Yeah.
So Tam helps her give birth, cuts the fucking umbilical cord with the Heron Mark. That's a premonition in and of itself.
Oh God, I never thought about that. No shit. That's pretty cool.
Fuck his blood on the sword that's going to eventually mark him. That's so crazy.
Damn, that's awesome. I never thought about that.
Once for the umbilical cord, twice. No, once for the umbilical cord, twice for the foreskin.
Oh, no.
What do they call it? They don't call it a bris. What do they call it? The dragon's awakening.
Cut the dragon's tongue off. What?
The Moyle shows up and he just pulls a sword out. And you're like, whoa, what are we doing?
This dragon spits fire.
He's like, don't worry, guys. It's Heron marked. It means I'm a blade master. It better worry. Be you're a blade master.
Oops. I blade mastered the umbilical cord. Don't worry. Jeremy, what did you think about the ways? I thought they were adequately fucked up.
So you know, what's hilarious is I typed in here, the ways look like low budget cool.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's the Orion Pictures of the ways. If you guys have ever watched.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying, right? Like, or the, what was the gold, what was the guy's name? They did all the.
Golden Globus. Golden Globus.
Yes. Golden Globus. Yes. It is the Golden Globus.
No fucking idea. We're talking about Metroid. I have no idea what's happening.
So they did the Orion Pictures though, right? That's who they were.
Orion Picture, Golden Globus broke off of Orion Pictures. It was like, they were brothers. And I think one of the brothers did Golden Globus. And so then he had the inside scoop of what was going on at Orion. And that's why every time an Orion picture came out, a half budgeted Golden Globus movie just like it came out 2 months later.
Or what they would do is they would find out like who's going to lose their rights.
Yeah.
And they would buy them for super cheap.
And then they make Winter Dragon.
Exactly.
Or they make Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, is what they make.
Yeah. Dude, did you guys notice Rand's wig? Like, Rand's head's obviously shaved. It's so goofy looking.
So at the very last scene, I was with Perrin and him, like, when they're arguing, I noticed his hair was, like, sticking out a little bit farther on the sides. And I was like, did his hair get long? Oh, he's wearing a wig. I think that's what it is.
Right.
I think you're totally right.
Yeah, I noticed it looked different, but I forgot it was because he had a wig. Yeah, because they couldn't like cut it close and make it look nice. It just kind of had to be there.
Well, if you think about it, too, the last two episodes were the COVID episodes, right?
Yeah.
So they were probably trying to match stuff as good as possible. And maybe his hair grew out and they're like, oh, we can't get it to the right, you know, the right length, or we can't cut it correctly, so we're just going to shave it and put you a wig on you or something. I have no idea.
Couldn't have gotten him a Steven Seagal wig. It would have been perfect with the ponytail, just pitch black, just slick back, looking like Uncle Leroy. Just what's up?
So, okay, for 1 second, Uncle Leroy is our uncle, guys. Uncle Leroy is our uncle. That is our uncle.
There is a real Uncle Leroy.
There is a real Uncle Leroy.
Yeah, I'm not just throwing out a name. I have an Uncle Leroy. And he, especially when he was younger, he'd look a little bit like maybe Steven Seagal when he got a little puffy, but that's what he looked like.
It's true. He's a little Steven Seagalish. And you know what? He would not be insulted by that at all. He should be proud of that.
Oh, he would be. He'd be like, damn right.
That's how I do. That's how Leroy does it.
I was trying to I can't think of a Steven Seagal movie.
Mark for Death, Out for Justice, Under Siege,
bitch.
Under Siege 2, Dark Territory.
Jesus, oh my God.
You want me to keep going?
You know what? That was one of those movies that grandma would watch with us. We'd just be having like, she'd be like, let's have our popcorn and our Pepsi, and I'm going to. You guys can watch whatever stupid fucking movie you want. I'm going to do my word search, and you kids are sweet. I miss that. I miss grandma so much, man.
Oh.
Jesus Christ. We are so off track. Okay, Loial contradicts about channeling right away. He's like, you can't channel in here because Machin Shin will come. So, like, which is it? Can you channel? Can you not channel? I mean, obviously, Machin Shin shows up, but I don't know. That just annoyed me a little bit.
Well, I don't know. I think it happens the way, I mean, you can channel in there. You just shouldn't.
You're right.
Yeah, and they're right by the exit, too, right?
Well, that's what I always forget. I didn't want to rewind it. I was kind of on a time crunch, so I was already pausing it a lot. So they were going towards a different exit initially, right? And then when Machin Shin showed up.
In the book, and then they can't get across it because it's crumbled, and they have to go a different way, and then that's when Machin Shin starts. But they don't really do that. It's the guiding is fucked up, and then they have to...
But they say, like, we have a day's walk, let's take a rest, and then Machin Shin shows up, and they find an exit in 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So...
Oh, yeah, because I think they were trying to go to the... They weren't even going to go to Faldar. They were just trying to go to, as close as they could to the Eye.
Trying to get through the Blight, maybe, in through the ways, so they didn't have to actually go through the Blight.
Well, and I did love that they at least covered the, like, you know, oh, the ways used to be bright, and, you know, there used to be fruit trees, and, you know, there was grass on all the islands and everything. I mean, do you think that Sidene was, because they were helped to be grown with Sidene that's why, or is it something else why they got corrupted?
No, it's 100% because of that. Yeah. And it's pretty much confirmed if you're rereading.
I do want to say, I think I like the ways, you know, as much as it is kind of small and cheap. Like, I don't know. I know for Lord of the Rings, they would have like zoomed out and shown some huge ways, but I don't know. I kind of like it being small and we don't know what the fuck's going on. We can't see anything. Like, why would they show us?
Because that's really what it's like in the book.
Yeah, you can't see shit.
You're what's out there, you know?
So I think the fact that we can't see the bird's eye view. Perrin can, though. Perrin can.
I was going to say, that's one of the things I did like in there. They, you know, it's a little bit like trying to cram a lot of stuff, but it's like, they talk about the guiding. It's like, oh, that's how the Trollocs got to Eamon's Field or whatever. And Perrin's eyes are obviously getting super wolfy because he could totally see from far away, which is going to bring me to something later that I have a question. And I know I asked it before, but I'm going to reiterate it.
The whistle?
Yeah, the whistle is always there.
Give a little whistle. Give a little whistle.
Yeah, Rand's got jokes. He's like, oh, we're going to die.
So a Trolloc jumps on him, and then Egwene channels. Or does she?
Or does she? You find out at the end of the episode. Maybe she doesn't.
Maybe it's not her.
And then Machin Chin shows up, chases him out of the ways. So when Machin Chin is there, I'm going to read all of these for, you know, our listeners probably don't watch this with the subtitles on the way I do, or have watched it 8 times like we have as a group. So when Machin Chin shows up, it likes to just dig at your fears. You know, that's how it fucks you up. So while it's swirling to Moraine, it says, you're wrong about everything. You'll murder these children and call it heroism. To Egwene, it says, you're nothing. You're an imposter. You're a fraud. To Rand, it says, Egwene will never love you as much as you love her. She left you once and she'll leave you again. To Perrin, it says, you wanted Layla dead, out of the way. That's why you killed her, because you loved another woman more than your wife. So there's another, you know, another thing they're giving us. To Lan, it says, you can't protect her. You'll watch her die. Nynaeve gets a fucking earful. You'll hear their screams as they die, just like you heard your parents, and you'll do nothing to save them. You lost Matt, and now you'll lose the others one by one till you have nothing and no one. You can't protect them. You can't. So that's how Machin Chin gets them all crying.
Machin Chin is telling Lan about Moraine or Nynaeve.
No, Nynaeve. He's talking about Nynaeve. Or it's talking about Nynaeve. Because, I mean...
And obviously, Rand gets a few more things.
You can't protect her.
Oh, yeah. It is about Nynaeve?
Yes, absolutely.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Well, and like Nynaeve, basically Moraine kind of does what Nynaeve did in the book version of that kind of scene, which I think it's cool that they gave it to Nynaeve, but.
But again, Nynaeve gets all the glory.
She really does, man.
We were talking about it the other day. We're like, oh, she has the power to heal every single person. The first time she ever uses her power, she's like boom, explodes, and then knocks back Loghain as well. So it takes him out of the fight. And then this, and then at the very end, her power is the power that kills all the Trollocs. So instead of Rand getting anything, like literally anything, like you have...
All he does is fuck up and let Ishmael go.
Exactly.
Here you go, bro. Have fun.
Bye.
Go party.
And by the way, I used a Saw Angriel too. It's not even like I used my own power.
Yeah.
I used a Saw Angriel, which is more powerful than an Angriel. Which we didn't even get to see.
Fucking show us horse shit.
Oh.
Yeah, so, Dez, did you not realize that?
No. There's 2 levels of Angriels?
Oh, yes. So
three, sort of. 2 levels and then...
No, what? There's 2 levels.
Specialties?
There's a Saw Angriel. Or sorry, there's an Angriel. And then there's a Saw Angriel. And there's a Tear Angriel. Tear Angriel do different things. So as an Angriel, it'll multiply your power. Say, like, think about a bench press, right? Say I can bench press 200 pounds, but with an Angriel, I can bench press 250 pounds. Now, with a Saw Angriel, I can bench press 350 pounds or 450 pounds. Depending on how, like, powerful it is, it gets more and more.
Multiplier.
You have a Saw Angriel, you get extra spells, more mana.
But with a Tear Angriel, it's like, instead of doing bench press, I can fly.
Well, the thing about Tear Angriels is that sometimes they make them where people who don't channel can use them. Like there's some doorways that you'll get to that you can walk through to get like answers. And that becomes a big part of the story too, which if they leave that out, I'm going to be really bummed.
Oh, that would bum. Yeah, that'd be bad.
I'm going to, I will cry. We will have a problem.
But there are Terra Ingrails also that you can like channel into and it'll allow you to enter the world of dreams or something like
that. We've seen one of those. We've seen one of those already.
Maybe. We've seen that.
It's a, that's definitely, what else would it be, man? They're channeling into it, then they're in the world of dreams.
It's a TV show.
It might be a tchotchke.
It could be.
Look, it's just like one of those frames where you can like video chat. It's fine. It's virtual reality.
It's just another fucking thing I have to dust around is what it is.
That's exactly right. It's another Van Gogh. Oh my gosh.
Oh God.
I have to like look at it.
Van Gogh. Oh Jesus. I'm just really excited. After watching that trailer, I'm so excited because the sets were already actually really good this year and the costumes were already good this year. And I think they're just going to be crazy good. Well, and also, you know, my buddy Guy Roberts said he's really excited about it.
Yeah. Personally. Thank you so much.
Your boy.
Let me just work that in there. My homeboy, Guy Roberts.
Yes.
No, he was pretty cool though. He actually reached out and was just like, hey, you know, I showed you guys a text. It was just like, hey, you know, we're pretty much on lockdown until season two comes out. So we've been talking to him and stuff and he wants to come on and he's given us his agent's name and he's like, I'm totally down to come on. Just, you know, got to clear it with the Amazon people. We can't get a hold of anybody from Amazon. So
Guy Roberts is the guy who is the gentleman who plays Uno.
Uno. Yeah. Guy Roberts is Uno. For those of you who don't know,
who is, if you're listening and again, to this. For those people who still don't know, the guy with the patch in Faldara.
That is introduced in this episode.
Yes. Yes.
Who says hello to Lan as you great bloody bastard.
Yes.
And no, but I thought it was pretty cool because I had reached out to him. We talked here and there and he's reached out to me three times. Like I have messaged him and I'm not heard back. And then randomly he's like, hey, dude, sorry. It, you know, what's up? Yes, I'm still down to come on. I just got to, you know, got to go through the channels. And I'm like, cool, man. I think it's just fucking absolutely super cool that you even acknowledge my presence. So and he's like, I'm super excited for season two. It's going to be super awesome. I'm like, bro, I'm going to come in my pants. I'm so excited. And you're telling me I should be pumped. So I'm super, super stoked. And if he gets Glenn, I'm going to fucking burn this place to the ground.
Please. So for those of you that are, you know, listening to this show and you're like, hey, this is just kind of like a show that just talks about the Wheel of Time. No, we are involved in the Wheel of Time. We are talking there. Okay. All right. Fatty is the guy who's doing most of the, you know, the talking and he's like trying to get out there and get people involved. But there are people. Stuff going on behind the scenes that you don't even know about. We're trying to get people involved and we want to, you know, bring that to you as much as we can.
Hell yeah. We're going
to
do it.
Trying to get Nablus on the show, thinking he might not be interested because we cuss too much. I don't know.
Maybe we talk about poop jokes a little bit too often. I don't know.
I can't hang, guys. Sorry.
No, just enough.
We got a PG show.
Just enough. We're going to talk all we want, but we'll edit his episode down to a PG-13 just to get him on.
We can do that. Absolutely, we can do that. I would be okay with that if we did it all the time. I'm really not.
Who's we? Who's we? You got a turd in your pocket? You know how much Dez would have to do to cut out all the fucking filthy mouth shit that I say? You want to put extra work on his plate? I don't see you editing, buddy.
Poor Dez, I know.
Beep. Jeremy's like, wait, whoa.
Beep. Beep.
I know. Beep. Just a flush, just constantly the flush. Jeremy, why do you think they didn't make it more blatant that Pod and Fane like had a, like, are they trying to like, oh, maybe he can channel or like, I mean, you know, because Moraine had to channel to open the waygate and then he just kind of walks out of it. And so like, do you think it was a choice or like literally a budget thing or?
I think it's a budget
thing. Are they trying to kind of like, oh, maybe he can channel, you know what I mean? Or maybe he has someone with whom he can channel. I don't know.
Honestly, the whole Pod and Fane thing, especially after talking to your brother-in-law, where he's like, you know, hey, we want to listen to your podcast. Yeah, we want to listen to your podcast. And he's like, but I have no idea who's this guy that shows up. So you're watching the show and you're trying to figure out like, who is this Pod and Fane guy? He wasn't even trying to figure out who Pod and Fane was. He was like, who is this person who's in the ways? I saw his coat and we were trying to figure out who he was. And they have no frame of reference because he showed up in the very beginning, and unless you're paying very good attention, he doesn't show up again at all. Like, unless you're paying attention to when he's in Shadow Logoth and there's just the whistles, you don't see his face, you don't see his body,
you see him in Tarvalin twice.
You see him in Tarvalin twice, but you have to be paying very good attention to see him. And then at the very end, he's in Shinar, and you have to slow it down.
No, but here's my thing. Dude, I think that was a time when they were going to start, because, you know, Perrin's like, you can see in the dark. And right after that is when he kind of like, Nynaeve would have saw Podfain walk right past them. She would not have missed him.
Yes, absolutely.
I think he's starting to smell where he was. Like, he's starting to have this different, because he does such violence, he leaves a fucking trail. And so it's so strong that it's almost like he's walking right by him. But I think they probably couldn't make an effect. Or I think it's one of those things, maybe they'll go back in season two and they'll have a little flashback where he's like, oh, you know, he wasn't actually there.
Well, they didn't make it like he was like, oh, what's that smell? Like that type of thing.
Yeah.
It was like, I think I just saw Padfain. And that's what he says.
Right. Maybe it's almost maybe the wolves, you know, I don't know.
But then we don't see him because in the camera angle, I think we should have seen him walking away. And I don't think we do.
Right. You don't really see him.
Yeah.
You see him for a second, but then he just kind of like someone walks by and then he's just gone.
Yeah.
If I'm remember correctly.
But you're right, Jeremy, in the fact that like it's only nerds, like even people who like this show and are trying to pay attention are just like, is this the fucking guy that was selling trinkets in the first episode?
Right.
Why the fuck is he here?
Yeah. Like, I guess he matters.
You know what, though? Honestly, in the book, it kind of is the same. He just kind of pops up.
But he comes up a lot.
That's true.
In conversation.
Yes.
So you're at least like, okay, I got to keep my eye out for that fucker.
Yeah. So in the books, he just kind of disappears. And then there's a guy who's asking about it when he reaches Camelin. When Rand reaches Camelin. And they're like, there's this weird, like,
there's some beggar, this creepy beggar
asking about you. Like, okay. And then he runs into him and he's like, oh my God, that's Padfain. Why is he like after me? And so he like runs away from him. And then finally he catches up to him in Shinar at the very end. And they're like, oh, this guy is a dark friend. He is really weird. Let's just lock him in the dungeon. And then you come back to him in the second book. And so there's this slow, like showing like, oh, this guy's a little different, but it's not like you need to really watch out for him.
Well, until the second book, then he really is like, holy shit.
Well, and we learn a lot about him when he's locked up, too. So if he doesn't get locked up.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're going to have to really spread that out. Or maybe somehow he gets caught in a different way. But no, he's got the horn.
He's got the horn. And I think that so.
Yeah, he put the dagger in your horn box.
He did put the dagger in the horn box.
He's got both.
So fast forwarding now to the point where everyone knows that he's a bad guy and he's been kind of, if you go back and realize, okay, he's been following him the whole time. He's got the horn and he's got the dagger. So he's taking off. Obviously, Perrin's going to go after him. Rand is off doing something completely different. Matt.
Did you just say obviously?
Obviously with it. Yes, I did say. Okay.
Possibly.
Maybe not possibly. So obviously. Possibly.
Perrin's going to go after him.
Okay. In all of the trailers that we have seen, it's Perrin just by himself going after with all the Shannarans. So they're going after the horn.
Because Rand's off by himself. So Rand must be heading to Carheen.
Yes. The more I think about this, the more I'm like, okay, I understand what you did here. You need to get him into book three, basically. So you're got to pretty much bypass book two with Rand. He's going to go right past it.
Which means you're going to miss a lot of the Celine stuff. I don't think they're going to do the parallel universe flicker, nope. Flicker, flicker now. Because nope. I don't think you can do it well. I don't think you can do it well.
You can't.
I don't think you can do it well. And I don't think they're going to have time for it.
No,
maybe one real quick part of it and they can, you know,
yeah, maybe
do one of those cool Benny Hill little medleys where it shows they've been there for a long time.
Yeah, you have no Hurin, right? So you have, instead of Hurin, you have
Perrin and Elias, probably
Elias Matura, right? So he's going to be him. Perrin and him will be doing the same, kind of the same thing. Perrin will learn from Hurin. And I think that that's just going to be them learning the wolf stuff. It's not going to be actually him actually learning the smelling. Maybe it's going to be him learning the smelling stuff, but they're not going to go into that parallel parallel universe that Rand and Huron and Loial did where they met Celine. I don't think it's going to happen.
I quit.
You sound like me.
If we don't go into parallel universes and flicker, 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 I'm out.
I think that the portal stones are pretty cool, but I don't think they're going to come into it. I really don't.
Oh, you're probably right. They'll probably just use the ways for all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the portal stones.
Or if they use them, they won't be as big. But that'll be okay if they still slide them in.
I had kind of forgotten about the flicker, flicker, flicker now. And I can even remember.
You could spend 12 to 15 minutes on them spending a night in that place trying to figure out this portal stone, you know, and like coming across Celine.
So they could actually, instead of using the ways, he could just figure out traveling, or he can figure out skimming before that, which is. So traveling is you basically.
Dude, I hope we get that in the second season.
Yeah. Traveling is that you open a portal between one place and another. Skimming is like you open a doorway that takes you to a hallway. This is going to sound so stupid.
And we covered all this on episode blah, blah, blah on compulsion. I can't remember which one.
A Scooby-Doo hallway with a bunch of doors along the sides.
No doors. It's just a hallway. So that you go from one place to the other. Yeah, it's completely
wormholes.
It's kind of like wormholes.
It's basically they just rip a hole in the air. It's basically it. Getting to Min, Moraine's like totally pressing her. Min is not what I expected, but I still really like that actress and I thought she was great. Except she has, you know, we talk about having a tell. She got a tell. She takes a drink every time she lies.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, and did you know what? Min knows who that fucking baby is. You see, Rand was holding the baby.
He was holding the baby.
Was it the baby?
No, it was not the baby.
Find out next season. On
the it's got to be the baby. I don't even know who the baby is, but what other baby?
Oh, you know who the baby is.
Why would it matter? Why would her premonition matter if it was just a baby?
Because it's.
The baby that Desmond's talking about, though, is.
I know what baby he's talking about.
Loose terror baby.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, Desmond, I figured out what. Yeah, do you know why that baby was there? Because it was just a little little reminder of what Luce Theron does when he comes back from Shale Gol, as he murders fucking everybody. Including that baby.
I used to listen to this podcast, and they would like review old movies, and then whenever there was an old movie with a dog in it, they'd be like, "That dog's dead."
That dog is so dead. God, Jesus.
This movie is 25 years old, or even if it's 15 years old, like there's no way that dog's still alive.
Dude, if there's like a gratuitous animal death in a show, me and Lisa will be like, nope, 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 the fuck right out. I'm done. Nope, not doing it.
I'll keep my eye on doesthedogdie.com.
Yes.
And I'll keep you warned.
That's like Independence Day.
Yeah.
Literally, there's a fireball coming down and it's like killing tens of thousands of people as it's going through this hallway, and this dog jumps and at the very last second makes it, and everyone's like,
"Yay! The dog, yes,
oh, it's killed. It's literally killed tens of thousands of women and children." But you let the dog survived.
And that's why humans are dumb. I like dogs better than people anyway.
Oh, and a horse melts in Shadar Logoth. So
that's right, that's like fantasy magic, though. That horse didn't really die, so
yeah. But everyone hates horses. I mean, if you really know horses, they're the worst. They really are. Horses are the worst. They really are.
Horses are amazing. Uh-oh, you're the worst.
They're the worst. All they try to do is like eat, poop, and kill themselves. Yeah. That's all they do. They're like babies.
Oh my God. When have you even been around horses? Horses are majestic, wonderful animals.
What have I been around horses? What are you talking about? Your mom loved horses. My mom loved horses. That means I hate horses.
You just don't like them because all she did is just make us clean up shit.
That is absolutely
That's why you don't
true.
Like them.
Exactly.
Man, we could be playing wiffle ball right now. Well, then hurry up and clean the stalls, and we can.
Or G.I. Joe's, or laser tag, or whatever.
Play with G.I. Joe's in the poop.
Or we'll go shoot stuff.
You act like we didn't do that.
Shoot horse shit.
Yeah, we did all those things. We did all that too. Shoot cow pies.
So before we get off Min.
If you think she's up for it.
Is look.
What did you say? What did he say?
Jeremy is in rare form tonight. I like whiskey drinking Jeremy.
Carrying the show. Here, God damn it. I'm like sober tonight too. So
dang. I'm off tomorrow, guys.
I was just going to say, Jeremy doesn't have to work tomorrow.
He does not.
I got to get up at 5:45. So
I'll be right back.
So Min looks at our heroes. She sees Perrin with yellow eyes. She sees Rand holding a child, and then white and gold. Why is it white? I forget which Egwene or Nynaeve is white and the other one's gold. Do those colors mean anything, or are they just magical sparkles?
I think she said that it's night. I can't remember exactly what she says. Egwene's has to do with her being the Emilran seat eventually, I believe.
I keep forgetting that's Egwene. I keep thinking that's Nynaeve that's going to do that. I don't know why.
And then Nynaeve, I think hers has to do with her and Lan's, you know, budding romance.
Okay.
And, you know, there's one thing that they set up, and I should wait for Germany to get back for that, but they're setting up, like, Moraine kind of talks about Nynaeve. She's like, I like her. And so, like, Moraine's preparing to die, so at this point, or she maybe knows that she's going to. So I think they're trying to already set up to be able to pass Lan's bond to someone if Moraine is to die, so that he doesn't rage out, and then when he calms down, then his bond can be passed to Nynaeve. So he just got to the point in the books where his bond is finally passed to Nynaeve when she becomes a full sister.
And then Min also says to Moraine, the Amyrlin will be your downfall.
Dude, yeah. I want to ask Jeremy what he thinks about that, because I'm curious. I'm thinking she means San Sanche, but
yeah,
you know, maybe she means somebody else. You didn't even know what we're talking about.
I was listening the whole time. What are you talking about?
He's got his earbuds in.
Oh, this guy. Oh, magic. What do you think about shit? What was I saying, Dez, that I wanted to ask him about?
Min saying that the Amyrlin will be your, telling Moraine the Amyrlin will be your downfall.
Yeah, what do you think she means?
It could also be, spoiler alert, it could also be Elida, or if they swap out, like we've talked about with Elida, Leandrin, if Leandrin eventually becomes the Amyrlin. That could be your downfall.
I feel like that's what they're going to do. I can't see them bringing in Elida. And
I don't see how Swan could be your downfall. Do you? I mean,
just like her, you know, her little plans with Swan, you know, maybe.
Maybe.
Like, I guess if you're thinking of it more directly, you know, it would be someone else.
So for Moraine, there really is no downfall until her downfall is Lanfear.
Right.
In the books.
Yeah.
That's her downfall. Right? Like, you don't understand.
Does the Amyrlin, should she have caught on to Lanfear?
No. So in the books, they don't have that relationship.
Oh, that's right.
There's no loving, like, you know, they don't have like a romantic relationship. In the books, there's really, it's kind of hard to say this without being spoilery, but Moraine disappears for 5 books, 6 books, something like that.
Really?
She disappears.
Dude, so I'm on book 13. She disappears in book 5, beginning of 5?
5 or 6, end of 5.
End of 4? End of 4?
No, it's not end of 4.
Fires of Heaven?
I think it's end of 5.
Yeah, because they're leaving the waste, so it's got to be.
Fires of Heaven is 5. So I think end of 5, she disappears. She comes back in 13, you said?
Yeah, Matt, I'm right where Matt's going to get her.
Does she have to come back? Does her powers turn any tide?
She's important to Rand.
She's incredibly important to Rand.
So they can't kill her off prematurely.
By the time Rand gets to the end, he trusts Moraine and Nynaeve. That's it. Moraine and Nynaeve. That's it. Well, and Min, and, you know, and Elaine. But like even Elaine and Egwene, he doesn't.
Not fully.
It's not that he doesn't trust them. It's just they don't see eye to eye. And he's like, look, I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm not wrong.
He doesn't trust their motivations. Like, it'd be like, you know, you're an incredibly important person. Say you're the president of the United States and you want world peace, but also you have to work with the Russians and you know that they want world peace, but they're going to get world peace their way.
Yeah.
And they're going to get the most, they're going to try to get the most they can out of whatever they can. And so you're like, okay, I get it. I understand.
In this analogy, Sean Chan's a runner.
Yeah. So you're trying to figure out like, okay, Nynaeve's motivations are she cares about the people that she grew up with and the people that she has to look out for. And those people are right now Rand. And then Moraine is like, he's like, well, you've been searching for me for 20 something years. And so I know that you have like one goal in mind, and that is to help me, who I am, the Dragon Reborn.
Save the world.
I know that's all you have to do. You want to save the world? That's all I, and I know that your motivations are pure. Everybody else, you have motivations, but also those motivations are not perfect.
Well, and when she disappears, he doesn't feel that way about her. He's sick of her pushing and pulling around, and she gets to the point where she becomes so subservient to him, it's almost ridiculous, because she just doesn't want him to send her away.
Yes. She's like, I will do anything to stay near you so that I can help you. And he's just like, I don't trust you.
I think she even says, short of joining, sort of sharing your bed, she finds out some answers from some people. And she says, I did find out that would be a disaster. So that's the one thing I won't do. God, Nynaeve too, feeling violence. Let her try.
So after the heroes get their minds read basically by Min unknowingly, now they basically, this is the end of the second act of our rom-com, and our heroes have a fight so they can go split up and brood on their own.
God, I know. Jeez. And then the whole land thing with her, I refuse to talk about it.
We're going to talk about it because I don't believe Nynaeve would touch him knowing that he's bonded with Moraine.
I think that's a really good point.
That is a good point.
She's going to know about my good stuff. We're not doing that.
Yeah, I don't want to be anywhere where she can know what I'm doing, and she'll know what I'm doing to you. So I'm out.
Come on, dude. That's a typical warder lie. Oh, dude, it's cool. She won't know. She masked the bond tonight.
Yeah.
Fucking warders are liars. You can't trust them.
Warders can lie, everybody.
Warders can lie. That is true. They can lie.
That is absolutely 100% true.
And often they are employed to lie by their Aes Sedais. Often. It's more like subterfuge and like hinting at stuff, but they basically lie.
I never even thought about that. That absolutely, she would never want that.
Yeah.
At 100%.
I don't either. That's a very good point, man. I mean, some of the stuff, I guess it's okay. It's just, as long as it somehow has context in the future, then fine. Like, as long as there's some sort of a callback to, like, there's some things that I don't want to say, oh, it was stupid, or just, you know, like, it wasn't my favorite. I didn't really want that there. If there's a callback to it and there's a reason, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Build that mystery box.
Better be something in it. I love Lan, too. He's like, I hadn't noticed. Like, she's beautiful. He's like, nah, I hadn't noticed. It's another good line.
Sure he hadn't.
Yeah, right. And how did he like fucking creep up on her all fast? What was that about? Are we to believe that she was just so moon-eyed on about him that she didn't notice him leaving the room?
Or that he's a fucking ninja?
He's a ninja.
I mean, he's definitely a ninja.
That was just a ninja move, I think.
Well, every time she's followed him in the past, he's been with Moraine. So she's like, Moraine has a tell. You don't have a tell, though. Your tell is you're super sneaky.
I can tell you want me.
I can tell it's you because your braid smells like patchouli oil.
God, you know it does too.
You have to. It would have to.
Oh, I mean, you know what? Something I said a couple weeks ago that I wasn't sure how, you know, it was going to land with Egwene trying to, like, you know, take charge and, you know, maybe be a leader of the Aes Sedai at some point. But I did see it actually this episode. She said something to Nynaeve and she was just like, first of all, she's kind of like, what were you doing last night? Why are you rebranding? Where the fuck were you? She's like, I went out. She's like,
I bet.
Mm-hmm. Your bed wasn't slept in. Don't play. And, you know, she's already kind of like got that kind of like older woman edge to like, hey, what were you doing, dirty girl? And she says something else to her. She was like, talks about her pride. She's like, would you really let your pride stop you from doing the right thing or something like that? And maybe that was the books. I don't know. I'm starting to mix them up, but I'm pretty sure that was...
I don't think they say anything about that.
She says something about, it's when she said, she was like, let her try. And she's like, really? Are you really going to like try to fight Moraine? Like, we're trying to like do this shit. I can't remember what she says, but it's like, she's like, you know, like fucking like focus up. Like we're trying to like save our friends, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. She does say something like that. So Nynaeve is off with Lan. Perrin is just off. I don't think we see what Perrin's doing during this, do we? He's just off pouting somewhere.
I don't think so.
And then Rand is missing the mark with his bow and arrow. He's all mad, so he can't hit the bullseye.
Emo Rand can't shoot the bow.
Ugh, symbolism. Ugh.
I do want to point out, you know what I did notice in this episode? He does have one shitty scene. The way of the leaf. But Perrin is a much better actor in episode 7 than he was at the beginning. Like, he's fallen, or maybe he's just falling into Perrin's character more, but I did appreciate the difference and I noticed it. So, Marcus, again, don't kill me.
Yeah, he, that's the one thing I wrote down on here that I don't remember him being so into the Way of the Leaf as in the books. Like in the books, he wasn't so.
I think they're just, he struggles, you know, when he wants to put away the axe for the hammer, you know, but it's like, finally he comes to the realization. It's like, dude, it doesn't matter. You're fucking going to destroy if you have a. There's one point when Perrin like rips a leg off a chair and beats someone to death with it. It's just like, it doesn't matter what you have in your hands, dude.
Exactly.
You're fucking savage, dog.
He's one of those guys who's like, well, but I can take the hammer and I can use it for
other stuff. You know, I can make stuff too. I don't have to just kill people.
But I could also like, you know, tear a guy's jaw off with my hammer. So,
or my bare hands.
And maybe he's going to be a real, well, Matt might be too, but Perrin might be. They might be using him to show that, like, the wheel fucking needs you. So you can want all this shit all you want, but the wheel needs you here fighting this battle.
That's exactly right.
Right. And like, absolutely right. And you'll see later as it gets on, like, there are times when Matt's like, all I want to do is get on my horse and leave where I'm at. But if I try to, something will keep me from doing it. And something always happens. Varen tells a story about how she's trying to travel. She's trying to learn. You have to learn where you're starting from when you want to travel. And so she's like, well, I rented a room and I tried to learn it. And then I had to get moved. And then like, then the inn caught on fire. And then like all this shit keeps happening because she has to wait for Matt, you know? And it's just like the Taviren factor of it is awesome. And I really think that they did a good job of keeping Rand. You know, Rand is always the common thread between Matt and Perrin. In the books, to me, I guess they were friends, but Matt and Perrin were never as close as Rand and Matt or Rand and Perrin. They, you know, they were Rand's best friends. They were also friends with each other, but not like on that level. And I think they're doing a good job of like, yeah, they're close, but, you know, Rand is the link between everybody. I've started to kind of see that on the rewatch. I'm like, you know, it's subtle and I may be giving too much credit, but I definitely saw it between the three fellas. In the last episode, I'm like, oh, even though Matt wasn't there, I was like, oh, I get that they're kind of like, he's the that thread that kind of holds everybody together.
Yeah, literally the thread that holds them together.
Yeah, the pattern thread. Yeah, that's true.
There's that scene where, you know, him and Egwene are arguing because he's like, you've never understood Matt. You just.
Yeah, you've never given him a chance.
You like wrote him off because. He was poor, but you haven't seen that, like, everything he sacrifices for his sisters or his friends. And then Perrin gets really upset at something that Rand says. And then you're like...
He was just telling her to apologize to Gwen.
He was, but then there's this whole spot that I didn't catch before, and I would probably not have caught again, but unless I put these subtitles on. And Rand goes, oh, I get it now. He goes, the day that... You asked, proposed to Layla.
Was the day that Egwene and I got together.
And so, I mean, it's obvious that they're trying to set up this weird love triangle, right? But.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
They take 5-6 episodes off of doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still don't understand it.
And Min's not going to come in. I don't think she's going to come into play in the show very quickly. So.
Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah.
She should be pretty.
By the end of season two, she should be.
She's going to have to be
all up in there.
Yeah.
I forget that we're going to get deep in the Shan Chan in season two because they loaded them up at the end of season one. So they're going to be all about it. So Egwene shows up and, for lack of a better term, straightens Rand out. And now he's shooting bullseyes, baby. He's all loosened up.
She's off to the tower and
Rand's shooting straight.
She's all done until Gawain gets her filthy hands all over her.
And so this is where, so while Rand is, you know, finally relaxed and shooting bullseyes, now he's thinking about all the stuff. He's realizing all the times that he's channeled. Like, up until now, he hasn't really realized that he's channeled. He feels like he's gotten lucky or whatever. And he's just like, oh.
Well, and then the Black Wind was like, you're the Dragon Reborn.
Oh, like, that's right. This is when we get the call back to what the other thing Ma Qianqian told him. It's you. You've always known it's you deep down. No matter how fast or how far you run, you cannot escape your fate. You are the Dragon Reborn. Bump, bump.
Well, and he accepts it for sure.
Well, he doesn't accept it for sure until he goes to Min. He's 99% sure. And then he goes to the bar and talks to Min. And then Min tells the story about her first vision she ever had.
Well, and that's not in the books.
Really?
I don't believe. Right, Jeremy?
No, absolutely.
And I loved it. I loved that.
Because I assume that this is...
Well, she has visions about him, just not that one.
Yes.
But...
And then, or she never talks about having seen Tam, you know, with that sword or anything like that. And I thought it was pretty cool.
Do you think they're going to play this then as the vision that Min told Su-an and Moraine 20 years ago?
That wasn't Min.
But Min says...
That was some Aes Sedai.
She would have been like two.
Oh, is Min... I thought she was a little bit old. I thought she was more of a Nynaeve age.
Like she's like two. Yeah, she's like Nynaeve. She's like 25 and they're like 20.
So, I mean, this woman can... I mean, yeah, you can imagine her first vision being when she was under 10.
It's different.
Yeah, but she was just a gutter rat in Tar Valon, or Barlan, whatever. But I think they came across her in Tar Valon, and they kind of spirited her away so she wouldn't just be a test subject her whole life, basically, because she could see visions. But she said her first vision was she saw Tam in Tar Valon right after he found Rand, or right before the fighting.
Well, she saw the whole thing. She saw the cold open, basically, in her vision.
No, she just saw Tam with the and his life in the Two Rivers and stuff like that.
No, she saw Tam taking the baby from Dragonmount, didn't she?
Yeah, but I don't think she saw the fighting.
Well, I mean, you know, I feel like she like saw the birth.
I don't know. I'd have to listen to what she says, but.
And the man with the heron mark taking the baby and retreating to the Two Rivers and raising it as his own.
Yeah, and he's surrounded by sheep and...
Yeah.
Whatever. They make brandy and ciders, and they grow tobacco.
And a drunk wife.
and a drunk wife. Yeah,
your mom could drink. Like, dude, shots fired, man. That's underhanded. I hate it.
Wow, bro. mom died of cancer, but now you're going to talk about how much of a drunk she was. That's cool.
I know, yeah. And then, I don't know, the Blight could have been better, but it wasn't terrible.
I would like to have seen, so after talking to, when we talked to the editor, and he was talking about how they had picked out places and they had it all scoped out, and then COVID hit and they couldn't do it. I'm just like, oh man, I would love to have seen what it looked like, you know, before all that.
All right, Min, I saw blood and snow. I saw a baby born on the slopes of Dragonmount.
Okay. So she saw the prophecy of Rand being born.
Yeah.
Blood and snow.
Which I guess that's similar to the prophecy of Guitara Sedai. She's like, you know, blood in the snow and the baby is screaming and he comes again. And then she fucking dropped dead.
And she's like, he burns like the sun and the...
And on that note, thank the light.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Rate us, like us, tell a friend. Thank the light, everybody. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parseilman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parseilman. If you would like to send any questions or comments directly to us, you can send them to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. If you want something else to listen to while you're waiting for our next fantastic podcast, go to whatsoundsawesome.com. We have a lot of great shows. It's getting closer, everybody. My new fitness podcast, we have episode zero up. So if you want to just listen to a couple minutes of these guys introducing themselves before they launch their first episode, it is officially... I've been calling it the wrong show because I'm a terrible, terrible promoter. It is That Fitness Couple is what it's going to be. It is going to be That Fitness Couple with Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski. They're going to be coming at you soon with lots of great fitness and nutrition information. On top of that, we got time travel, we got comedy spirituality, we have more fitness and nutrition, and we have awesome women on the Be Brave podcast.
So all you little Hulkamaniacs out there, take your vitamins. Oh yeah, brother.
And on that note, I just want to remind you all that they're both big and they both brood.
May you always find water and shade. Dez, cut this out.
And you don't have to cut all of this out. Keep this part in, though.
In what? In what?
In Wheel of Time!
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Do you guys remember that first thought when you're like, you moved out of the house and you're an adult and you're like, I live by myself. I am never going to buy wheat bread ever again. I hate wheat bread. I will buy white bread because I like white bread.